Don't you appreciate grace and mercy? Hallelujah. I've enjoyed that good singing today by the choir and appreciate all their efforts. You pray for them. They'll be singing every night in the services for the next 2 weeks, the Lord willing. But it's come time for preaching this afternoon, and I appreciate Brother Bradley Anderson. He is out of Bethel Baptist Church here in our county, but he is the youth pastor there at Tabernacle. And as I said, the Lord laid this young man on my heart. And he's going to come around and preach to us about 30 minutes this afternoon. Now, I want you to help him. Don't sit there like a knot on the log. I mean, if you was up here preaching, you help him like you'd want somebody to help you. Amen. There's a lot of fellas want everybody to help them, but they don't help nobody else. I try to help a man if I can. In fact, if I see some of my people near deep water, I'm going to push them in. If they ever get in over their head, they'll like it. Amen. And I want you to hear him gladly this afternoon as he comes to carry out the service as he feels led of the Lord. Amen. I love you, Brother Bradley. Amen.
Amen. Well, all any of us have to claim this afternoon is the grace and mercy of the Lord. And I praise him for his goodness in my life. Been far better to me than I ever deserve and that I could ever tell you this afternoon. But I'm thankful for his goodness, thankful for the Wednesday night that he saved me. As a 9-year-old boy, I'm grateful that I can recall that night. I remember the conviction of sin I was under, and I remember the peace that flooded my soul after I called upon the name of the Lord. And I'm glad, as they sung a little bit earlier, that there is power in the blood. There's power in that name still. I'm thankful that the church is still, they'll be in business as long as time goes on, because there's power in his name, and there's power in the word of the Lord, and in the power, and there's power in the blood. And I'm grateful for that this afternoon, and thankful the Lord gives a message. And I've learned since I've been preaching, there's a difference between a message and the message. But I'm grateful this afternoon, that the Lord has given me, I believe, was the message. And I tried to get away from it a few different times and would begin to flip through my Bible and think, well, maybe I could preach something else and maybe be more of a help. But I just kept coming back to this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. If you'll turn with me there is where we'll take our reading from. And I trust the Lord will use his word here this afternoon and do with it that he sees fit to do. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 26, and I'll read through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible says here, "And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard." I like verse number 27, which will be an emphasis of the message, but the Bible says, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather to thee, to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord God of their fathers. Well, let's pray this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace as has been sung about. Lord, I'm thankful for the reading of your word. God, I'm thankful for the power within your word. And God, remind me of that as I preach. God, power will not be in my articulation of the words, but God, just to deliver the word that you've already spoken, God. And I pray this afternoon that God, you'd open hearts. And God, you deal with sinners, God, and speak to their heart, Lord, and us that's walking here maybe at a distance, God. Oh, we could all use a drawing near to the Savior here this afternoon. And God, I pray that you'd deal with us all, Lord, that your word might have free course and power, God, to do that you intend for it to do. And Father, if there'd be a sinner here today, God, that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray that you'd deal with their heart. God, bring conviction upon them, God, that they might become to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God. Lord, that's what will make the difference in this time together. That's what will make the difference in the message, Lord, is the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, grant that today and do that that we cannot do for ourselves. Father, we're dependent upon you for this hour. God, we ask you to speak to hearts. And all these things we ask in the name that's above every name. Amen. Amen. When you come here to this chapter in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34, there's a man here that the Word of God teaches us about and tells us about by the name of Josiah. And I'd love to be able to preach the whole chapter to you, but of course, for time's sake, that's not quite possible. But I do want to point out a few things to you that's necessary for the text to make sense. And look with me in verse number 1. If you have your Bibles open, the Word of God says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And if you read these, I would challenge you to read the whole chapter. And if you do, you can't help but be challenged by the life of Josiah. The example that he set, it'll challenge you and it'll challenge your life. The Bible says at the end of verse number 2 that he declined neither to the right hand or to the left. In other words, he didn't turn to one side or to the other, but he stayed the course. He remained faithful to the work of God in his life. He remained faithful to what God was doing in his life and what he knew was the calling of his life. He remained faithful. He did not turn to the right or to the left, and that's a challenge to you and I, because so many people, they get out of the journey somewhere along the line, they bow out somewhere along the way. But Josiah, he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. He stayed true and he stayed faithful to the work God had in his life. And I love the verse number 3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, the Bible says, hear this, he began to seek after the God of David and his father. While he was yet young, the Bible says, young people, I challenge you to listen to me. Don't waste the young years of your life on the things of this world. Don't waste the young years of your life so that one day you have to go and look back upon those years and think, man, I wish I would have done more. Man, I wish I would have served God in a greater capacity. But do like Josiah did and seek the Lord while you're yet young. The world has this attitude oftentimes that your young years are for spending them on yourself and to what the world refers to as enjoying your youth. But can I assure you this afternoon that you will not find a greater usage of your time. You will not find a greater purpose for your life than to seek the Lord while you're yet young. Don't waste the most valuable, the most precious years of your life on the things of this world, because Josiah set us a great example to seek the Lord while we're yet young. You see, those young years are not for this world. In fact, a lot of men of God, as they grow older and age comes upon them, they're not able to do the things they once were. But God can take a young man and use him in ways he might not be able to use other people. And so Josiah, he sought the Lord while he was yet young, the Bible says. And as the text goes on, he began to cleanse. He had such a heart for God, and things had been so bad. As you study out the kings, many of them took over, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord, the Bible tells us. And so things became messy, if you will, for lack of a better term. Things were not good. The spiritual condition of God's people was not good. But Josiah steps in, and Josiah has his heart for the Lord, and he begins to cleanse the temple. He's interested in cleansing cleansing the people of God, removing those things out of their presence and out of their congregation that should not be there. And that's what those first 8 verses are telling us about. And then in verse number 8, it tells us that Josiah had a heart to repair the house of the Lord. And so he sends certain of his men into the house of the Lord, and they began to minister. They began to labor there for the ministry of repair in the house of the Lord. And while they're there, what's leading up to where, and I'm using all this to lead into our text tonight, this evening, but while they're working in the house of the Lord, they come across the words of the law given by Moses. The Bible tells us there, and in those chapters they come in verse number 18, Shaphan, one of the men that Josiah sent, he told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And they found this book in the house of the Lord. And can I say to you as well, in kind of a passing note, that there's still some things found in the house of the Lord that you cannot find anywhere else. They found that book of the law in the house of the Lord. Sure, it had collected dust and it had been there who knows how long, and they'd lost sight of how long it had been there. But they found it in the house of the Lord. We live in a day that does not place a lot of value on the house of the Lord, doesn't it place a lot of value on going to church and being around the things of God? But I assure you this afternoon that there's still a few things found at the house of the Lord that you will not find anywhere else. You'll find, you'll experience some things at the house of the Lord that you can't experience anywhere else outside in this world. When the Word of God begins to be preached and begins to minister to your heart and to speak to you where you're living and to help you where you're walking, you won't find that out here in this world. There's some things at the house of the Lord that you will not find anywhere else. And that's the case here for Josiah and these men he has working for him. They find the book of the, you know, Word of the Law that was given by Moses, and then they bring it to him, and of course they read it to him. And then in verse number 21, here's his initial response to what was read unto him. He says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." And you'll find as this text carries on, Josiah's greatly, the Bible tells us later on, he heard the word of the Lord and he rent his clothes. And then in the final verses of the chapter, which I did read, it talks about the great change that was brought about in Josiah's life. Even though he was a godly individual, he had an honorary life, an exemplary life, but yet there were some changes made in his life when he heard the word of the Lord. And that's why this text has just remained upon my heart, because you know in the next couple of weeks there's going to be a lot of preaching done from this very place. There's going to be a lot of the declaration of the word of God. And can I assure you that God does not intend for us to hear the word of the Lord, go get in our vehicles, drive back home, and be unchanged and unmoved by the word of God. But yet God's word is powerful. We've mentioned that. God's word is capable of making changes in our life, the changes that need to be made, great godly changes, just like it was experienced in the life of Josiah. Josiah was changed from the word of God, and you and I can be changed as well. How can we experience this great life-changing power from the word of God that Josiah gives us an example of here in the text? God doesn't intend for us to hear the word of the Lord Sunday after Sunday. Every day we open up our Bible and begin to read and leave from those situations unchanged. The word of God is meant to transform our life and to mold us and to shape us into the image of Christ. And that's what we want to take place in the days ahead. So what was going on here in this passage that allowed these changes to be brought about in Josiah's life? Well, look, when they, first of all, in verse number 26, where we begin our reading, the Bible says that as for the king of Judah, of course, as in verse number 21 I read, Josiah sent his messengers to the prophetess, and he's inquiring of the Lord. Well, she gives them a message in verse number 23 through 25, and then also in verse 26 here, she says, "As for the king of Judah," talking about Josiah, "the man who inquired of the Lord, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, as it says, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, hear this concerning the words which thou hast heard." I don't mean to oversimplify things. A lot of times my mind doesn't think in a very deep thing, but in a deep way. But the very first thing that had to take place for Josiah to experience this great life-changing power of the Word of God was he had to hear the Word of God. And you know, that seems to be something that we're getting away from in our day, but can I assure you, and I'm comforted to know this afternoon, that God's Word is still powerful, and God's Word is still able to transform lives, and God's Word is still able to reach down where sinners are walking and where sinners are living, and able to make the changes that need to be made, just like it took place in Josiah's life. It didn't happen when he was out at work. It didn't happen when he was out hanging out with his buddies. It happened when he heard the Word of the Lord. I'm thankful that when we hear the Word of God and we come into the house of God, there's opportunities for lives to be completely transformed and changed by the great power that's in the Word of God. Many preachers even, and I know I'm a young preacher, and I say this very humbly, but in our day there seems to be a lot of other things going on during what should be the preaching hour besides the preaching of the Word of God. But can I tell you, the changes brought about in Josiah's life came when he heard the Word of the Lord. It didn't come through the joking hour, through anything else, but the preaching and the declaration of the Word of God. That's what brought about these great changes in his life. And I'll point out a few things to you that Josiah would have heard as he heard the word of the Lord. As he read the Old Testament, he would have found out God had a standard. And he would have found out that God was holy. And you and I, as we read the word of God, we'll find the same, that God has a standard and God is holy and God has a righteous way of doing things and God is holiness. God is everything that is right and is good and is perfect in this world. God is those things. But what Josiah also would have found is that man failed to meet that standard. Josiah would have found that man had not measured up to God's standard. Josiah would have found that man had failed. In fact, the text tells us that men had forsaken the word of the Lord and the covenant that he had made with them. And you and I will find the same when we read the word of God. It'll help bring us to a humble place. It'll help us realize that we're not near as good as we think we are. But one thing about it is Josiah up to this point hadn't made any mention about the condition of mankind. He hadn't given much thought to where man was living and where they was walking. In other words, the word of God helped give him a good understanding, a good comprehension of the reality of the way things were. And the word of God will do the same for you and I, because you go out into this world and they make sin look good, they make sin look appealing, they tell you that it's all right to live a certain way when the word of God clearly tells us that it's not. The word of God will help give you a good perception on the way things really are. And in fact, if you want to know the way that the direction of this world and where things are going, look to your Bible, find your place in the word of God, and it'll tell you and it'll help you get a better understanding, a better perception about the way things truly are. Josiah, up to this point, hadn't realized there was any problem. Nobody was coming to him saying, Josiah, well, we need to be careful. We're walking on thin ground here. We're not living the way we're supposed to be living. Nobody told him that. Where did he find it? He found it in the Word of God. You see, the world has many people deceived today. The world has many people thinking in an unclear state of mind, but the Word of God will help give us a clear perception of reality and the way things truly are. And you see, first of all, we could say about the word of the Lord, thank God that he spoke to us in the first place. You know, he could have remained silent all throughout eternity and left us where we was at and in the condition which we was in. In fact, I was preaching out of Hebrews chapter number 1 this morning, where it talks about in God and in various ways and various manners spoke unto us in times past by the prophets, but unto us in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. What a merciful God that he would speak unto you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1 that the word was with God and the word was God, and then he could have stayed in heaven. He could have been there and enjoyed all the glories of heaven and never left and came to you and I. But the Bible tells us that God has spoken unto us by his Son. God came to where you and I was when we could not go to where he was, and God spoke to you and I. So therefore we have the word of the Lord, and praise be to his name for that. The most comforting thing I have in my life, the thing I value more than anything else in my life, is the very word of God. And I would not have that this afternoon if God had not spoken and God had not moved upon men to write down his words and to pin them down and preserved it for you and I, that we could have a copy of the word of the Lord in our hands. Thank God that he has spoken unto us and given us his word. You see here, Josiah, it appears that this is the first time that Josiah's ever heard the word of the Lord. He doesn't say, oh yeah, that rings a bell, but it seems as from the text, this is the first time Josiah ever heard the word of the Lord. And you understand this afternoon, many of us have more Bibles than we probably even know where they're all at. And if nothing else, you can pull up the Bible on your phone and look up verses anytime that you want to. I would challenge you this afternoon, don't overlook the blessing that you have and the access that you have to the Word of God. Josiah had that one copy that they found, and Josiah never heard it before. If God has given you opportunity to hear the Word of the Lord, a copy of God's Word to grow from, to study from yourself, we ought to be thankful for that and not overlook the great blessings of God that we have a copy of his word, that we have his precious word to hold in our hands. And Josiah, another thing about hearing the word of the Lord, Josiah took it as if God was speaking directly to him. Josiah took it as if these were the very words of God. The Bible tells us in these passages of Scripture that it was the word of the law in verse number 14 given by Moses. Now, of course, Moses was long dead and gone by this point, but Josiah didn't say anything about Moses. He wasn't worried about getting to Moses, about getting into contact with Moses. That wasn't his concern. In verse number 21, he said, go inquire of the Lord. Josiah knew that these words had come from God. And one of the greatest things I began to understand in my life when the Word of God took on a whole new life to me is when I understood it wasn't just Paul writing to me, it wasn't just Peter writing to me, it wasn't just the prophets of old writing to me, but the God of heaven, the God that controls everything that you and I see, that holds all this together. When you open up your Bible and begin to read, it's as if you're reading the very words of God spoken to you and I. And that's what Josiah understood. And Josiah took it as if God was speaking directly to him. I wonder what kind of a new life the Word of God would take in our lives if we'd understand it. When we open it, God is speaking directly to us. God himself is opening up his voice and speaking unto you and I. What a great comfort that is when you read the promises of God. What great words he's given us. And they mean that much more when you understand they've come from his mouth and his breath. God has given us his word, just like he gave it here to Josiah. And you know, as I mentioned, Josiah, they found this copy of the word of the Lord. And I wonder how much time God has given us his word. I wonder how much time you've spent in God's word. Oh, how sad it is when we neglect the word of God. His gracious and kindness to give us His Word, to give us the comfort of it, the promises of it, the guidance of it, the counsel of it, and yet we neglect it. Unfortunately, many of our Bibles have more dust on them than the Bible that they found in the temple and in the house of the Lord. God, help us not to neglect the Word You've given us, the most precious thing that we have in this life, the most valuable thing that we have in this life. God, help us not to neglect Your Word. And that's where this started. Josiah heard the words of the Lord. And then, of course, in verses 29 through 33, Josiah applied the Word of God. Of course, if the changes are going to be made, we're going to have to understand that it's got to be put to use in our life. But there's a great link between Josiah hearing the Word of the Lord and then applying the Word of the Lord. And you'll find that in verse 27, which I told you has been dwelling upon my heart. The Bible says here, after the prophetess addressed Josiah in verse number 26 to 27, it says this. And here's where the Word of God found Josiah. It says, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest His words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before Me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before Me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." This is the direct link between hearing the Word of God and you applying the Word of God. As you responding to the Word, you approaching the Word of God the same way that Josiah did, with a tender heart and a humble attitude. You see, we live in a day where that seems to be the minority of the way that people come to the Word of God. And you know, as Josiah heard the Word of the Lord, as Josiah heard about God's standard, as Josiah heard about the righteous standard that God had set, and how the man had fallen short of that standard, and because of that, judgment was impending, judgment was coming upon God's people, it hit Josiah right in his heart. And his heart was tender and soft to receive the Word of the Lord. In other words, Josiah could have read the Word of the Lord and he could have said, "Well, so what? What does it matter to me?" He could have heard the Word of the Lord and said, "Well, things seem to be going all right this minute, so we'll just keep going the way we're going and see how things turn out." But that's not what happened, because Josiah had a tender heart. Josiah had a soft heart. And how many times do we come into the house of the Lord and we hear the Word of God, but maybe we think, "Well, so-and-so might could use the message, and so-and-so, that seems to hit them right where they're living." But Josiah had a tender heart, and it hit him right in his heart. And the idea given to me is that when he heard the Word of God, it made its mark upon his heart. It made its mark upon his life. And you see, that's where we got to be if the Word of God is, if we're going to experience the great changes that the Word of God can bring. It's going to come when we have a tender heart. And when the Word of God hits it, it makes its mark and it leaves its impression upon our life, so that we're touched and moved by the Word of God. And preachers, you probably can understand, you preach your heart out Sunday after Sunday, and people seem to come in and leave unmoved and unchanged by the Word of God. God, help us. And God, in these days ahead, give us a tender heart to hear and to take in the Word of God, that it might leave a mark upon our heart and an impression upon our lives, just like it did with Josiah. Well, here's the bad news, though. We live in a day of hardened hearts. We live in a day where people, you can go out witnessing and tell people, if they die without Christ, they'll spend an eternity in hell, and they'll just look at you. They'll just send you on your way. We live in a day of hardened hearts, not just out in the world, but even in our churches. Our pews are filled with people with hard hearts. The Word of God leaves no mark. The Word of God leaves no impression upon them. It's a day where we live in a day of hardened hearts. If not, these pews here in this tabernacle this evening would be full of people ready to hear the Word of God and let it make an impression, an imprint upon their life. But we live in a day of hard hearts where people don't want to hear the Word of God. They're not concerned with them. When they do hear it, they just let it go through one ear and out the other. It's a day where we're unmoved by the Word of God, but not Josiah. But here's the good news. Here's where I'm encouraged. God's the creator of the heart, and if God wants to tenderize a heart, God knows exactly how to do it. God knows how to make a heart soft, and that can be a scary thing, because God knows how to tenderize your heart. And God knows how to make it to where we receive the Word of God and take it in as He intends for us to. As I thought about that, I thought about the Apostle Paul. The day he was walking down the Damascus Road, despised everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't want to hear His name, and in fact had brought out the paperwork that he could bind up everybody that called upon the name of the Lord and send them to prison. He wanted nothing to do with the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, just a little bit before we learn about the Damascus Road experience, he was involved in the death of Stephen as he was preaching and declaring the things and the goodness of God. Paul was there to hold their clothes as they threw stones upon the man as he preached. Paul wanted nothing to do with the Word of God or the things of God. But Paul began walking down that Damascus Road one day, and sure enough, there shined a light round about him. The Word of God came to him where he was living. The Word of God came to him where he was walking. And before you know it, when the Lord went to Ananias and said, "Ananias, I need you to go to him." Do you know what he said Paul was doing? He said, "Behold, he prayeth." This man of God who persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ wanted nothing to do with him. By the time God got finished with him, by the time God's Word dealt with his heart, the Bible says, "Behold, behold, he prayeth. His life had changed, and from there on, you know the life of the Apostle Paul, the most dedicated believer that has probably ever walked on this earth, but he started out as a despiser of the things of God. But thank God, the Word of God is able to tenderize hearts and cause it to where people who are hardened and calloused against the things of God, to make them receive what God has for them. I thought about the prophet Jonah. God came to him and said, Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. And you talk about a hardened heart. What did Jonah do? Jonah went the complete opposite direction in a ship and said, I'm not doing it. Talk about a hardened heart. Well, those that were sailing with him, of course, being outside of the will of God, you're not just going to impact yourself, you're going to impact those around you. You're going to make things hard on those around you when you get outside of the will of God, and that's what happened with Jonah. So Jonah's out on the ship, and the storm began to blow, and everybody knew that something must have been going on, and they began to wonder whose sins is the result of this storm that's coming and causing this problem for us as we're trying to sail. Well, they find out, they get to the bottom of it, and they understand Jonah admits he had rebelled against the things of God, rebelled against the call of God upon his life. And so he says, toss me over the side, and the storm will cease, and you'll be all right. Well, they didn't want to do it, but after the storm kept on, and they couldn't row out of the storm, they tried to fix it on their own. They could not do it, so they decided, well, we're going to have to throw him overboard. And then Jonah finds himself in the belly of that fish. But you know what happened in the Jonah chapter number 2? Jonah begins to pray. Jonah begins to call upon the name of the Lord. And where Jonah was so hard, and where Jonah was so callous to the things of God, Jonah, he didn't want anything to do with the call of God and the work of God in his life. But sure enough, here he is praying. And you know what happens in chapter number 3? The Lord gives him the call the second time, the Bible says, and says, go to Nineveh and preach unto them. And you know what ends up happening? Jonah ends up in Nineveh, and Jonah preaches the things of God, and the city is turned because of his message. You see, we may live in a day of hardened hearts, but I'm encouraged that the Word of God has power to prevail against the most callous and the most hardened hearts. And so that's why camp meeting things like this and preaching of the Word of God is still needed and still important in a day where the world has cut itself off from the things of God. Somebody might come into this place over the next few weeks and hear the Word of the Lord and have want nothing to do with it, but the Word of God is able to pierce their heart, as hard as it may be, and reach their life where they're living and where they're walking and do what needs to be done in their life. When I was a 9-year-old boy, I didn't really have a lot of thought concerning salvation. In fact, when I got saved, I'd made a profession of faith, but I'm glad one day the Word of the Lord pierced my heart. I've often said, I grew up in church, I grew up around the things of God, and I praise His name for that. And I heard every Sunday, every Wednesday, I heard that if you die without Christ, you spend eternity in hell. I heard that every Sunday. And Preacher Bill was the one that told me. I grew up under Preacher Bill. And every Sunday out here, if you die without Christ, you spend an eternity apart from God in a place called hell. Every Sunday, I heard it. Every Wednesday, I heard it at home. Had a grandmother I heard it from. Heard it all my life that if you die without Christ, you'll die and you'll go to hell and spend eternity without Him. But you know, I remember particularly one Tuesday afternoon, the Word of God pierced my heart. It dealt with my heart. No longer did I just hear it, but it was real to me. It was as if God was speaking to me. The Word of God had pierced my heart, as hard as it may have been. It had pierced my heart. And I laid there in my bed that Tuesday night, could not sleep. Could not sleep. The Word of God had pierced my heart. And that Wednesday night, as a 9-year-old boy who, you know, you can't dream this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. As a 9-year-old boy, I knew I needed to get to Christ. I knew I needed to get to Him. And the invitation was given, and I tugged on my mama's shirt, and I said, Mom, can we go pray? As a 9-year-old boy, why would a 9-year-old be concerned about going and hitting an altar? Because the Word of the Lord had pierced my heart. The Word of the Lord had gotten down in my heart and made it tender. We live in a day with hardened hearts, but I'm glad God knows how to tenderize a heart. The most hardened of sinners, God knows how to tenderize them. God knows how to make it to where they will see the Word of the Lord, and it'll make its impression upon them. And not only that, he had a humbleness about him. When he heard the Word of the Lord, the idea is that he made himself lower than the Word of God. He brought himself under the authority of the Word of God. That's where we got to get to in our day, bringing ourselves under the authority of the Word of God. When you hear God's Word, it's not just me telling you what God is saying. It's God speaking to you and I. We got to bring ourselves under the authority of the Word of God. When God says stay away from a certain place, in other words, you need to stay away from that place. When God says you need to be cautious who you hang around, in other words, you need to be cautious who you hang around. It's bringing ourselves into this submissive attitude, because we live in a day where we're, in a worldly sense, we're taught to, you know, do what you want and go where you want and don't mind. Nobody can tell you what to do. That's not the reality of things. The Word of God is our authority. The Word of God rules and reigns over you and I. We must bring ourselves under the submission of the Word of God. And at that point, that's when we can experience the great life-changing power of the Word of God. Look with me quickly this afternoon in those final verses where he takes the Word of God and he applies it, especially in verse number 31. The Bible says, the king stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. That sounds a lot like Deuteronomy to me. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Deuteronomy. It sounds a lot like the book of Deuteronomy, especially chapter 6, verse number 5, where it says to walk after the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Josiah took the word of the Lord, and he didn't just hear it. He didn't just know it so he could recollect it to people when they asked him, but he took it and he put it to use in his life. If you want to experience the power, see, God, your marriage might be, this afternoon, your marriage might be a mess, but God's word has power to bring transformation into that marriage. You might be here wrapped up in sin. It's got you bound up. You know you're saved, but you're bound up. Well, God's word has the power to set you free. And how can we experience that great power of his word? It's when we take it and apply it in our lives and use it as you see, the word of God is to be our mold, and we should pour our life into that mold and let the word of God make our life what it needs to be. Don't take your example from this world. Don't take your example from the people on TV. Take your example of how to live from the word of God. Take your example of how to live and how to behave yourself and how to carry yourself from the word of God. We apply it to our life. You see, this world lives in a day where this book's outdated and has no application for their life. But can I tell you, everything you need for this life and how to live is right here. Right here in your Bible. Right here in this blessed copy of God's word. Everything you need is right here. Everything you need is right here in this blessed book. If you would stand with me this afternoon, and Brother Jordan, if you'd get us a song of invitation, I feel like the Lord would have us do this here this afternoon. And as I mentioned, verse number 27 is what I want you to leave here thinking about. It says, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God. You see, God honored his response to the word of God. That's what I'm preaching about here, is responding to and experiencing the power of God's word and responding to the preaching of God's word, because you're going to experience a lot of that in the next few weeks. And you see, why is something like this, why is it important for a camp meeting to carry on? Why is it important for our churches to continue to meet and the preaching of the Word of God to be done? Because it's got power to transform lives. It's got power to make changes in people's lives. And we can experience that power if we'll have this approach to the Word of God that Josiah did. His heart was tender, and he humbled himself before the Lord. I would just challenge you this. Do you need to come pray? Would you come pray and say, God, give us a tender heart as we hear the preaching of the word of the Lord? God, help our hearts to be solved, and when the word of God meets it, that it makes its mark. It leaves its spot, leaves its place. Lord, help us not to leave here from these meetings each night and each morning unmoved. You see, Josiah, here's also some good news for you. Josiah's experience, his revival, if you will, it carried over into other people's lives. The Bible says there at the end of chapter number 34 that in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. His revival, his response to the Word of God ended up impacting all those around him. And I believe yours will too. If you'll get things right with God, you'll impact everybody around you as well. But the thing is, it started with just Josiah. Everybody might come in this week and have a heart that's so hard that not a single thing could pierce through it. But you can come in here and get a blessing. You can come in this place and get help for your life just like Josiah did. It didn't start with all of Israel. It started with Josiah. And this meeting might start with you, to have a tender heart, to have a heart that will take in and receive the things of God. Would you pray for a tender heart? Pray for each individual to have a tender heart. Pray for yourself to have a tender heart, that you might take in and receive the word of God just like Josiah did. Just like Josiah did. You listen as they sing, and if the Lord has dealt with your heart, you respond to him this afternoon.